Blog Talk Radio.
Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And you are listening to the Living by Design Show. Good evening, everyone. Oh, my goodness. This is such a historic day. This is such a historic day. I am so excited to be a part of history. This is absolutely amazing.
You're absolutely right.
Go ahead, Tony.
I was just going to say you're absolutely right. It's an amazing day.
Yeah, this is a day that I didn't know if I would ever see in my lifetime, but we're here, and I'm glad to be here. So we're going to welcome everyone that's going to be coming into the chat room. We're going to welcome everyone listening over the phone and on the archive downloads. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. I know you are also just as excited as I am to be a part of history this evening, and we're going to have a wonderful show. We want you to call in and give us your thoughts and give us your feelings and opinions about everything that has happened over the last 24 hours because it has been an absolute whirlwind. Oh, my goodness. It's just surreal for me, Tony. I mean, I don't even know what to think. I've had a flurry of emotions between last night and up to now.
Yeah, I've actually gone through the same kind of thing. I mean, there's so many ways of looking at what has happened in the last really 48 hours from the final day, the final polls closing, and actually the final push, and then the final polls closing, and then getting the notification last night when it came across that Barack Obama was now the president-elect. And,
wow.
This country is changed forever, and
it will
have a different. It's already being looked at differently by other countries, and it's an amazing thing. I mean, I've had to work quite a bit.
I know you have. I know you've been involved in quite a bit of the activities and everything going on up there in Indianapolis. I know the candidates both. I think they both came through there recently in the last week or so, didn't they?
Yes, they did. As a matter of fact, McCain actually had come through. He did what was called an airport stop and stopped at our international airport, and about 8,000 people showed up. And then Barack Obama came in one day and did a stop. About 20,000 people came in, and then he was actually here yesterday and went to a polling place. And wanted to make sure that he came through Indianapolis one last time on election day to kind of encourage folks. And he actually won the state. It's the first time the state of Indiana has gone Democrat in some 30, maybe almost 50
more
years.
More like 40 years, yeah. It's almost 50 years.
I think it was 1934.
Well, before we move any further, I want to offer my sincere condolences to the Obama family and Barack for the loss of his grandmother a few days ago. I can't even imagine, Tony, I can't even imagine all the bittersweet emotions he's been going through, you know, with sadness and happiness and a flurry of emotions. I mean, from one extreme to the other. Oh, my goodness. Bless his heart.
Well, you know, one thing you have to – it's amazing how God works. Because he was able to get back home, because he was in Hawaii originally. He was able to get back there, and he was able to see his grandmother. But this is how the Lord works. His grandmother actually had filled out an absentee ballot. And that absentee ballot went ahead and cast her vote for her grandson, even though she had passed away.
Bless her heart. I have a caller on the line, and I'm going to go ahead and bring this caller on because I talked to this caller earlier, and I think he's got something very interesting to tell us about the Mr. President-elect. So I'm going to bring on area code 312. Area code 312, you're on the line. Can you hear us?
Good evening, Kathy. Good evening, Tony. This is Father Tim Dodd of Hyde Park.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm tremendous. I'm tremendous. This is a glorious day, a day that's been a long time in coming, a day that honestly is long overdue. And I'm grateful and proud to have one of my neighbors, Senator Barack Obama, as the 44th President of the United States. You know, the gift that Barack brings is he is a very genuine and real human being. And he has time for everyone. It's a gift.
Yes.
It's a tremendous gift. And we're very lucky to have this person as our next president. The people
That's
spoke.
Amazing. So how long have you lived, you said, in the neighborhood? Or
in the neighborhood. He actually lives maybe three-quarters of a mile from me now. He used to live four houses down.
That's amazing.
But he moved up. He moved up into a wonderful big house.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Wow.
And it's a thrill to have him in the neighborhood. You know, I have meetings all over Hyde Park because I work in ecumenical circles. And I have to pass through that security zone often. And to be able to get within three blocks, you have to be on the list and you have to go through multiple checkpoints. And yet, Secret Service has been very kind to the citizens of Hyde Park and of Chicago. They've been very easy to work with.
That's amazing. I mean, this is a time in our country. I was just saying to Tony that I didn't think I would ever see Father Tim. I didn't think I would ever see this time.
No, I knew it was coming. It's long overdue. You know, it's about qualifications. It's about desire. Here is a person who had a dream, who faced unbelievable odds. Convention said no, and he said, so what?
That's right.
The gift Barack brought was reaching out to the disenfranchised, to the people that have never voted, young, old, across all income lines, gender lines, race lines, location lines. And he said, I have a plan for change that makes sense. And the people agreed. They spoke their voice, their united voice. It's about unity in each of our communities because we are one people under one creator. There are many different names, many different paths. But the essence is to be true to yourself in honor of the divinity that you're a part of.
That's absolutely correct. And you know what? With that, I am going to just take a quick little break here, Tim. Don't you go away. You just hold on
okay.
the line. And I just want to give everyone a little bit of history and a little bit of background on where it all started.
Wonderful.
But one day.
Yes.
This nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
Yeah.
I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification.
Yeah.
One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. Be made straight, and the goal of the Lord shall be
That's okay. I said that was very loud over the cell phone.
Oh, was it? Oh, I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
Oh, my goodness. This is just,
It's right where it's the perfect time. It is the perfect event. It is the perfect way to move forward. And that's what we all desire and need to do.
That's right. That is absolutely right. Well, thank you so much for your call. And I'm going to go ahead and mute you back. If you want to continue to hold on and listen, please do.
Okay, Kathy, I'm listening online, and if you have a need of another comment, just let me know, and I'll dial back in, and that way I'm not using all my minutes.
Oh, absolutely, no problem at all. Yeah,
you know, I'll be with you. I'll be with you at least until 6 my time, 7 your time.
Okay, all right.
And then I've got to get ready for another call.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your comments. We really appreciate it. God bless you.
Pleasure was mine.
All right.
And blessings to you.
And, Tony, I know you had said that, I was just going to say, I know you had been involved in quite a bit of activity over the last several weeks and months, probably, with all the campaign and everything. And, you know, why don't you just give us a little bit of update on what's been going on in your world?
Well, we, as a radio station and really as a company, made a determination that even though there had to be a sense of impartiality, we all actually had to go out and provide the opportunity to get involved. And the involvement for our station was to, and stations across the company, was to make sure that we got as many people registered as we possibly could. And our stations in Indianapolis, the Indianapolis submarket, actually, over the last several months, had registered at the very least, I don't have the exact number, but at least 8,000 people, and maybe a little bit more than that.
Wow.
A lot of those folks were new voters. A lot of those folks had not voted in a long time. The thing that was amazing to me about this process, and they talk about how Barack Obama's campaign and the way that he put together his campaign will be analyzed for decades to come, because it's never been seen before. He took on two of the strongest groups, and that was, of course, the Republicans, and then he also took on the Clintons. And their machines were so strong, but he created a brand-new approach. And when you reach millions of people and get millions of people to volunteer to be a part of your team, and then you motivate those individuals and you get them to do all kinds of things for you, making contributions and volunteering. And in our particular case, we could not, as a radio station, say that we were for McCain or we were for Barack Obama.
Absolutely.
What we could do is we could make sure that whomever was out and about, they had the opportunity. So we got them registered, and then we encouraged them to go out and vote. And yesterday I actually spent quite a bit of time out at the polls, going to various poll sites and precincts. I visited probably about 5 or 6 different polls. And in Indianapolis, there are various precincts in a poll site. So there could be 4 to 5 different precincts in a poll site. So I probably visited about 20, 25 different precincts. And was keeping track of the numbers, making sure that, and I was what's called a media watcher, and I was making sure that there wasn't any kind of crazy things going on, no cheating
right.
or any of those kinds of things. Actually stood in the poll sites and watched the volunteers and watched the poll workers do their job, watched the voters come in, and it was an amazing, amazing process. And to see it the way I did, and to see it come about the way that it did, it gave me a sense of pride like I've never had before, and we can talk about that. But that's kind of what's been going on. And then last night, had all day long worked, and then last night worked until about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning with my colleagues, and we were taking calls and just listening to the excitement of folks and sharing stories and the tears that went on. If you are older, of course, you understand the civil rights movement, and if you're even older than that, you understand the things that went on. If you're younger, then you understand the stories that came about, and if you're even younger than that, you just understand that something needed to be done and change had to be made. And that's what's been so amazing about this process for me, is that I'm seeing generations. We're seeing grandparents and parents
Absolutely.
And their children
Absolutely.
Actually coming together. And we actually we had a situation in one of the registration sites, which was amazing to me. There was an 89-year-old grandmother, her daughter, and her granddaughter, and they came in to register all at the same time. And the thing about it, none of them had ever voted, and they had never registered. So
wow.
I welled up, because that's how important this election was to the community and to this country. And Barack's machine, as they're going to start calling it, was able to really motivate people. But more than that, I think as the Reverend said, what's amazing is people saw something that is much deeper than the politics that we've heard about.
That's
Barack Obama, he motivated people, sure, but I don't, you know, the only comparison I can make is John F. Kennedy. And the stories and the things. I was a child when John F. Kennedy was assassinated, but going back in the archives and reading his story and hearing all the things, the way that he was able to get people to do things and motivate people and get people involved, that's the
right.
comparison. But even more than that, Barack Obama has a sense of truth. And
Absolutely.
I think that truth is what people are holding on for. It wasn't change, but it was also hope.
And I tell you, what really, really rang really strong for me is, you know, when I had an opportunity to speak with Michelle, and I just want to play that clip real quick here, because change has always been the push and the belief, and that's what everybody has been holding on to. And I just, you know, I just really feel like that is a that's going to be very, very, very critical as far as us coming together and as a country. So I'm just going to just bear with me. I'm just going to play this little clip for everybody that's listening, because you know, this is really important.
Hi, I'm Kathy, and I'd like to know, Michelle, from your perspective as the wife of a presidential candidate, what do you see as your biggest challenge and obstacle to overcome and or deal with?
You know, I think that fear and the fear of change is sort of the big thing that keeps us from moving forward as a nation. I think that part of what we have to realize in this country is that there is more that unites us. I mean, we've had the opportunity to travel all around this country, to go into communities of all races, of all ethnicities, and people are open and they're kind, and we share the same values in this country, and folks are all striving for the same thing. It's just that our politics doesn't reflect the reality that we're closer to one another than not, because some people can politically profit off of the division. But I think that the challenge for us as a nation is that we have to put aside those old wounds, we have to set aside those old assumptions, and know that in our hearts that this country can change, but we have to do it step by step, that we have to be ready to change as individuals first. But I see that happening over the course of this year, and it does give me hope.
change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
Oh, yes, it will. A change has already come. A change has already come. So, whew, that's powerful. Truly, truly powerful. So, I'm opening up the line. So, you know, anybody that wants to dial in, I do see some people here in queue. So, I'm going to, Tony, you still with me?
Yes, I am.
I'm going to open up the line for area code 970, area code 970. You're on the line. Do you have a comment or a question?
This is Biomed Annie Rose.
Hello, Annie. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
I have just been on an emotional roller coaster in the last 36 hours. And,
absolutely.
It's really, really exciting, and I'm white. I don't know if there's very many other white people on this show or not. I can't really tell.
Oh, honey, it doesn't matter. I don't think you're the only one, Annie, but it's okay because we're all one now.
I know, and that's what I was going to say. And I said in the chat room, and I wanted to kind of clarify on that, I grew up in rural Pennsylvania in Pittsburgh in the suburbs. Pretty nice childhood. We were upper middle class. And at that time, I'm 54, we had a live-in cook, and she was black, and her name was Betsy, and she lived on the third floor of the house. And she became almost a surrogate mother. I mean, my mom was a great mom, but my sisters were older, and they were never around, so I was always hanging out with Betsy, and I would sneak up there at night, and I knew every creak in the stairs, and I'd make sure nobody could hear it. And then I'd go up and see Betsy, and one time she had President Kennedy on TV, Jack Kennedy, when he was running, and she was telling me about him, and I went up and kissed the television screen. I'll never forget, I was 10 years old, and my parents gave me a Chatty Cathy doll for Christmas. I wanted one really badly, and she gave me a black Chatty Cathy doll, so I had both, and I loved them to death, and Betsy's mother came to visit on a bus from the South, and she was really old. That's all I remember. I mean, really old. And I sat on her knee, and she told me about the days when she was in slavery. And I cried, and I was young. I liked it, but I cried. And I never forgot any of that. And on Betsy's days off on Sunday, she had a room in town, and we'd go there, and she'd take this hot black iron and heat it and curl her hair and put the grease in it, and she'd do mine too, and I loved it.
Wow.
And I just, I'm very into politics, so I could care less what color our president is. I'm going to say that right now. I don't care what color our president is. I don't
Absolutely.
Care what gender. You know, I was looking at the issues.
About change.
You know, it's about change. But I was looking at the issues, so I was on an emotional roller coaster because I happen to have, you know, my own slant on abortion, and I'm a Christian, and I'm not pro-choice, and you know, McCain wasn't pro-choice, and you know, all these different things. So I've been on an emotional roller coaster, and when I watched last night, I had a really, really dear friend of mine, and he's actually owns a $1 billion security company where they do a lot of the Homeland Security stuff, and they do a lot of stuff in the Middle East. And he is a black man. He's a doctor. He has a doctorate. He's brilliant. He's a business associate, but he's a really, really good friend of mine. He's become over the years in Georgia. And I went out into my computer last night. I'll try to make this fast. I don't want to take up all your time. Okay, and I had emailed him early in the day because we were working on a business transaction, and he emailed me back, and he goes, "We're in Grant Park in Chicago. We had to be here, exactly where we were in 1968 Democratic Convention police riot. What a historic day. We see this as a completion from being no more than property," and he did this on his BlackBerry, "and not human, to being full U.S. citizens and equal human beings. It only took 389 years and all my 60 years." He'll be 60 on 11/17. But the result is worth the blood, sweat, tears, lives, pains, and prayers. We will leave sometime tomorrow evening after spending time with our daughter and grandchildren as well as wife's family. Gotta go. The park. Gotta go. Just announced it. The park is wild. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. We're free at last. All the best, Tim.
Oh, wow.
And I'm choked up now, but when I read that last night, I had tears streaming down my eyes.
I'll
so,
bet.
And I, you know, I feel, and I know, I feel like, do I have a right to feel this way because I'm white? Because I wasn't enslaved, because I didn't experience the prejudice? But I do. I feel it. I feel it deeply, and I'm so excited for our country.
I am too. I'm just excited that we're now united. And I don't know if you heard that little clip I played from our forefathers and where it all started with Dr. Martin Luther King when he made
that.
His "I Have a Dream" speech. And we have come such a long way. And even though he's not here with us to witness it, we are actually living his dream. We're living
his
dream.
He's watching. He's watching.
He's watching. That's true. Annie, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, dear, for your comments.
And I, you know, just hang on if you want to. I'm going to just mute you, but if you have another comment,
I'm listening. But my husband just got in, and so I'm going to be listening, and I'll be in the chat room. But
I love
your show, Kathy, and thank you.
Oh, thank you,
Annie.
Everybody. God bless you too, dear.
Okay. Bye.
And, you know, Kathy, I wanted to interject a little bit because that was a conversation that I had on my show today, and we took several calls in reference to the emotions that this country has. And the emotions are across the board, from gender to race. It's across the board because there is a sense of relief in so many different ways. One thing that Annie said that was very unique in that she didn't feel like it was okay for her to feel that way, but, you know, she did feel that way. She had this sense of relief also. And
right.
I think there is a sense of relief for everyone that's happy about this. There is a sense of relief, but I want to interject this and I want to say this. The feeling that African Americans or blacks are feeling are a little different. It's not a question of whether or not we have more right than others, but it's a little different. And let me explain why I say that. I say that because, and I guess the best example is, for the first time in my life, last night, I felt like this country looked at me differently. And the reason I did that, because a person that looks like me was elected to the highest office in the land. And that, to me, is where the change. Now, that relief is a tremendous relief on a lot of African-American spirits and our ancestors because, as you said, Dr. King wanted us to all have, you know, the feeling of us being one. But until we had an opportunity as African-Americans to feel like we were one, it could never happen. And from a lot of folks that I spoke to today, that is that feeling. As a matter of fact, I was looking at The View, and Whoopi Goldberg made a comment. She said, for the first time in her life, she felt like she could set her suitcase down.
Right.
And basically, yeah, it just means that's it. Now I feel like I'm home, and 'cause we were brought here. And a lot of folks say, you know, you shouldn't go that far back. But you kind of have to go that far back because
right. That
stigma has been a part of our ancestry.
Absolutely.
But now...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, but now that, as you said, the change is here. The change is coming. And it can't happen. It can't happen just by a speech or an election. It's going to happen with everyone.
Everyone coming together, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And I just wanted to get to a little bit of audio clips that we have because I know one of the concerns for quite a few of the people was in the upper class people that are in the income bracket where they're earning more than $250,000 a year that Barack was going to be taxing them very heavily because of, you know, their economical status, but I know you, Tony, have had quite a few discussions with people on your campaign trail that have voiced their opinions and voiced their comments, and they don't seem to be bothered or they don't seem to be concerned about it at all. So I'm just going to, if you don't mind, I'm going to run a couple of those clips just to kind of get their feelings and their thoughts. I think you had a conversation with Hill Harper and Saniah Latham, and I think I have one here from Tavis Smiley. So, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and play a couple of these and just, you know, let our listeners know what their thoughts are, okay?
Okay.
On the phone, I've got Hill Harper, extraordinary actor and now author and classmate of Barack Obama.
Yes. We went to Harvard Law School together. And listen, y'all, first, you know, I know I don't look as old as Barack because I'm not as old. He took 5 years off in between college and law school, and I went straight. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Tell the listeners about this man that you know.
Wow. You know, there's so many stories I could tell you. I'll try to make them as quick as possible. When we were at Harvard together, you know, he graduated as the number one student coming out of Harvard Law School. Now, I didn't just say the number one black student. I didn't say the number one male student. I said the number one. He was president of Harvard Law Review. And when you graduate as even the lowest student out of Harvard Law School, you get these high six-figure salary job offers. And he was offered a clerk for the Supreme Court. He had all these big job offers. He turned them all down, and he moved back to Chicago, and he started registering people to vote and helping folks out that were being laid off from steel plants in the south side of Chicago. And so it's just amazing. I believe if you look at the type of person someone is and the type of decisions they make in the past, you know what they are about the future. He's about service in the community.
And that pretty much says it all.
Right. And I mean, one of the things that people fail to recognize, I mean, it came out in a lot of negative campaigning, but that happens as a part of politics. But you made the comment about the taxation of the wealthy, and if you made over $250,000 a year, he was just going to tax you. Well,
yeah, and they don't seem to be concerned about that.
Well, they're not concerned about it because here's the truth. That's always the way it's been in this country. The folks that make the most money are the folks that pay the most taxes. It's no different. If you're a major corporation, you've had larger tax breaks, and so the taxes in some instances. Now, he did say that you had to qualify for a certain thing and do things a certain way, and he was going to change some of those policies. But I think the bottom line is that's really the way it's been. And it's no different now because you've got 1% of the wealthiest people making more money than 85% of this country. And that being the case, those individuals in most cases pay more taxes. So that's not anything different. And the term that they use were surrogates. Those individuals that I had an opportunity to talk to, they were Barack Obama surrogates. And I spoke to tens or 20 of Barack's folks. Stars from movie to stage to television to you name it, and they were people who represented an ideal about a man that they cared and they believed in, and they believed in him because of what he represented for this country, not just for
Absolutely.
Themselves, but for this country.
Absolutely. And I see a few callers in queue. Please don't go away. Don't hang up. I'm going to just go ahead and do one more quick clip here. For an interview clip, for just to make sure, I just want everybody to, I want to share this information with everybody so that we can know what's on the hearts and minds of not just us in this chat room, but people all over the country. So I'm just going to share this one clip, and I will get to you guys in the chat room. I see you holding.
Special guest in the studio with me right now. It is a pleasure to have in the studio, Saniah Latham. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you? I'm happy to be here.
You're here because you're here to support Barack. Tell us about that.
I'm here to support Barack because I basically, Alfre Woodard is obviously a very good friend of mine. We've worked together several times, and she's been campaigning for Barack, and she basically called me not too long ago and said, you know, the campaign is in dire need of getting people registered. Basically, there are 8 million black people around the country that are not registered. You know, this is going to change our future, you know, and it's so important to get people to register. So I'm just here to get the word out, call your friends. If you're not registered, register yourself.
And I have to ask you this because
yes.
What has this experience been for you?
For me, it's interesting because I think a lot of people are apathetic. I think a lot of people feel like the government, they don't have any real connection to the government. And I think that is obviously reflected in the fact that there's no people, there's not many people, I mean, there's all these people that are not registered. And for all my adult life, I didn't feel any connection. And it wasn't until this election when I started to listen to Barack and listen to his message and, you know, he reminded me of the fact that, you know, government in a democracy is supposed to be for the people, by the people.
Right.
This is our country. It kind of has been taken away from us in the last 8 years.
That's absolutely right. That pretty much says it all. So I am going to go to the line, and I'm going to go to area code 614. Area code 614, you're on the line. Do you have a comment or a question?
Kathy, yes, this is Howard. Okay, how are you doing?
Hello, Sandy. How are you doing, my dear?
You know what? I was on my way home today, and I was just cheesing and smiling. I'm tired as the dickens because I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep the night before. Got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go vote and, you know, just stayed up. I didn't take a nap. You know, I'm just tired, but I am so excited, and I'm proud of America for looking beyond certain lies and beyond ourselves and rallying around one candidate and doing what a lot of people said that they would do. There was no Bradley effect. That's what really got to me. And I am proud to say that I am from Ohio today because I thought I was just going to have to hide. My face.
Oh my goodness!
I mean,
yeah, when they announced that, I think that's when I started screaming.
Right.
Well, I felt the same way, but it was so funny for me because Indiana was also a swing state, but we didn't come in until real late, and so when I actually woke up this morning and saw that Barack had won the state. It gave me that same sense of accomplishment. It was like we worked very hard to make sure that we were part of this process. And let me ask, because I want to ask you this.
Yes.
Did it hit you stronger today than it did last night?
Honestly, it hasn't hit me yet, and I thought about that today. I'd have momentary bursts of, oh, my God, and then, you know, I just calm down because I'm at work and I have to be professional. And, you know, driving home again, I was beaming and cheesing, you know, in traffic, didn't care. It's just like, it hasn't hit me yet. It has not. And because I know that there's work that we still need to do. And just in that clip that you all just played, I mean, people need to realize this is the government, and the government is for the people, by the people. It is not time for us to sit back and say, oh, yay, we done it, and then go and put our heads back in the sand. It is time that we continually stay engaged in what is happening in the process and make ourselves a part of the process. And that's what I think that he offered America to realize, again, where we all fit in the process. So that I believe that is the number one reason why people voted for him, because he reminded us what America really is supposed to be about. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So true, Sandy, my dear. You are so right. Well, I'm going to keep you. Do you want me to keep your line open, or you want me to put you back on mute? Or
No. Put me on. Actually, I'm going to hang up because, I'm still on my prime minutes, girl. So
okay.
I'm going to listen to the chat room.
Okay, that sounds wonderful, dear. Thank you so much for your comments.
Okay, bye-bye.
All righty. Now, I am so filled with emotion. Oh, my God, I am just so filled with emotion. I'm going to switch gears here for a second and just talk a little bit about Barack and his family values. Oh, my God, this man, when I heard the speech that he made last night and the way he talked about his wife, and the tenderness and the loving way he described the importance of his family. It just, oh, my God, it moved me to tears. I don't know about everybody else, but it moved me to tears. And I tell you, I would walk over hot coals barefoot to have a man to feel that way about me. His partner, his best friend, his rock, oh, my gosh. I've got a little video, I'm sorry, a little audio clip here that I'm going to share with you guys, because I think Tony did have a little bit of a discussion with him about his family and how important his family is to him, because for me that says it all, because family is everything. So I'm going to play a little bit of this clip for you guys. Well,
Mel Barak, I know the women in your life, your story has been a poignant story about being, you know, coming from a single-parent household, your mother and your grandmother raising you. How important has the women in your life, as your wife and your daughters, how important have they been to this process?
Well, you know, they're obviously, my wife and daughters are everything to me. When they travel with me, it is a great thing. It keeps me happy and energized. Every time I see those little girls, I'm reminded of why I'm doing this. You know, I want to make sure that they're living in a country that is fair and is just, where every child has a chance to prosper and you know, achieve their dreams. And right now, too many kids don't see bright possibilities ahead. They're in difficult circumstances. Their parents are in difficult circumstances. And you know, a lot of those folks are working hard, but they're just not given a chance. And I want to make sure that we have a country where, you know, if you want to go to college, we're giving you a $4,000 tuition credit, every student every year, so that you can afford it in exchange for some community service. If you are working hard, then you should be able to get paid a living wage, and I want to give you a tax break so that you can afford rising gas prices or rising food prices. If you don't have health care, we're a wealthy enough nation that everybody should have health care. That's the kind of America I believe in and that we've got to fight for.
Well, he's absolutely correct.
And you know something,
correct.
Kathy, mm-hmm. this just hit me again, because we talk. I have had several conversations with the President-elect of the United States of America.
I know you have, Tony.
And it just...
You're not
going to
tear up on
me,
are you? I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, I'm a man, but, you know, I will admit, when I saw it last night, you know, I welled up just like a whole lot of folks. I didn't cry quite like Jesse Jackson did, but I understood Jesse's tears. The truth of the matter is, it did just hit me again that, and you know well enough, you know me well enough to know that, you know, I've met presidents and introduced them and things like that, but...
Oh, and I know it typically is nothing to you, but I can imagine how the magnitude of this particular one.
When I heard that clip, because that was from one of the primary, you know, his primary race when he was calling around and everything, but it just hit me again that I had an opportunity to talk to a man who is the first African-American to win the office of the President of the United States of America. And I actually had dialogue with this man. That
several
to me,
times.
Well, yeah, several times. But that to me, I mean, that's that kind of thing that when my grandchildren go to school, they can say, well, my papa, my granddaddy got a chance to speak to Barack Obama or had a conversation with him. And that's a big deal for me. I mean, and you know me well enough to know that the little things count for me in that aspect. And that in itself is just, it just hit me that, wow, I spoke to this man.
Absolutely.
And,
yes, he did.
That's an amazing, amazing thing.
And Tony,
how eloquent he is. Yeah, yeah.
And Tony, you know, for everyone that's listening in the chat room and on the archive downloads and dialed in, Tony Lamont is one of the most humble people I know. This man has been in events, and I mean, you got me all tongue-tied over here, Tony. I mean, he's been in events, he's introduced presidents, he has been on the dais with President Clinton and Bush, and I mean, I can't even begin to name them all. So for you to say something like that, I know that it is a really deep, heartfelt experience. So I totally understand exactly what you're going through, because I know all the experiences you've had with many different celebrities of all walks of life. So you're right.
You know,
that's a blessing. It's a blessing.
It is. It is. And I want to interject, too. You said something about Barack's admiration for his family, his adoration and his love for his family, his wife and his children.
Oh, it's to be admired. It's to be admired. Every woman wants that.
But I also want to say this about what Barack being elected as president has made this country see. It has made the country look at black men differently. Believe it or not, there was a young African-American man, probably about the age of 18, who was coming into the polling site, pants sagging and all that kind of stuff. And he had his hat on sideways. And when he got ready to step into the polling site, he literally pulled his pants up, pulled his belt tight, and took his hat off and went into the polling site. And I watched him as he left. He didn't put his hat back on, and he didn't sag his pants back. And I had an opportunity to have just a quick dialogue with him, and I asked him what that meant to him. And he said, it makes me want to be different. And I know now that I should be different. So we don't really realize the impact of what this has done to so many different people, and particularly being an African-American man who, if you've been a black male in this country, yes, you've got tremendous opportunities, but being a black man in this country is a little bit different than being any other race or any other gender. And to have a man who looks like you, who is like you, at the highest office in the country, people look at us differently. Now maybe I can go into an elevator and that little lady won't pull her purse closer, or when I walk across the street or I walk down the street, they won't flinch or cross the street because they're afraid of me.
Well,
that's
we're getting there.
Yeah,
we're
that's the kind of I'm praying for and hoping for.
Now, we have quite a few lines in the queue, and I want to try to take some of these callers. Area code 214, you're on the line. Do you have a comment or a question?
Hello, I'm just proud to be alive today.
That's right.
I'm Bruce from and I'm enjoying your show. I got a text that you were having a show, so I'm driving home from work and listening, and I'm very proud.
Thank you, my dear. I am very, very proud, too, and thank you for your comments, because we certainly do appreciate it. You just keep right on listening, okay?
All right. Y'all are doing great.
Thank you. God bless you. Okay, I'm going to go to area code 219. Area code 219, you're on the line. Do you have a comment or a question?
Good evening, Kathy and Tony.
Hello.
This is Alan Roger Curry.
Alan Roger Curry, I recognize that voice. How are you doing, Mr. Curry?
Oh, I'm telling you, I didn't get much sleep last night.
Talk to
and as Tony, I echo all the sentiments he just expressed about being a black man. And Tony, hey, I'm here to tell you, man, you know, I have my macho moments, but I ain't scared to cry. I was
absolutely
tearing up. When they walked out on that stage as a black family,
I
lost it. I just lost it.
I screamed.
And then another point a little later was when his youngest daughter, he kissed her and she kissed him back.
Hmm.
And that made me choke up again. But what really got me, and not a lot of stations played it up, but a few couple networks did. I don't know if you've ever seen in United States history a global reaction.
Oh, absolutely.
Like Obama got.
Oh, I know,
when they were showing the different clips of different, I mean, we bombed Japan like twice in our history, and Japan was celebrating. And just various other countries, it was unbelievable, because they know that by the selection of Obama, that a new era of government has been ushered in.
Right.
And so I'm just so excited for what's in front of us. And I just been giddy all day. And my only negative, I've allowed myself to go on a couple of message boards. I tend to be a message board junkie sometimes. And, of course, you got some people with sour grapes on some of these message boards.
Of course.
So I've been engaging in heated debates with them, shutting them up. But yeah, last night was just a glorious moment for African-Americans, for progressive-minded Americans of any race. And I just look so forward to seeing that family in the White House and seeing this very intellectually thorough brother making decisions that affect all our lives.
You know, and Alan, I want to just reiterate, you know, how special the moment is. And I thought about it this way. I'm not a historian by any stretch of the imagination, but I do remember that when it came to many presidents, particularly in the early days, there were servants that weren't allowed to come in the front door. They had to always come in the back door.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to be a black family, an African-American family, that is going to go up the White House steps and walk in the front door.
And even their puppy.
It's an amazing moment.
Yes. Yes,
I mean,
indeed,
the puppy, too.
Oh,
look at Kathy. He's like, the puppy, too.
The puppy's going to be walking up steps with them.
They haven't got the puppy yet.
I was excited. He said it was for the girls, but I was excited. I was like, oh, my God, they're getting a puppy. Oh, I think that is so wonderful. Such a perfect family. Perfect family. That's all they needed to complete it was a puppy.
Now, my final note, Kathy, you know I got to tease you. You let something out about yourself now.
You know,
I've heard different comments you said about relationships, but when you said not too long ago, you walk on hot coals.
Oh, honey. I said what I meant. Alan, the way he talked about her, the look he had in his eyes, just the way it came out of his mouth, I think every single woman, come on, women in the chat room, come on, back me up. I don't think there's a woman alive that would not walk over hot coals barefoot to have that type of love.
Well, and you know,
that
the one
man,
thing
that
I will...
Man, that man loves him some Michelle, you hear me?
Well, and the one thing I will say that the example of what they saw, that family shows something different. I mean, they're not the Huxtables, and they're not the Jeffersons, but they've had experiences of both. And through all of those experiences, they've shown a desire and a love for one another. And that's what's important about that relationship.
Yes.
And I was listening to a couple of interviews today, and as busy as he is, and this is what really struck me, even more so than last night, as busy as he is, he never, ever misses a day. When he's on the road, he never misses a day calling her and talking to Michelle and the two girls. Every day. Now, you know, that takes a lot of sacrifice.
A lot of sacrifice.
So, I mean, that's a very, very special man. He is so special in so many ways.
Yes, they both are.
True Vue Radio in the chat room said Michelle loved her some Obama, too. Yeah, you got that right. They love each other. They both love each other. I loved it when they did the fist bump, the little fist bump thing.
Right. When I had an opportunity to interview Michelle, I mean, of course, in sound bites, you don't get a chance to play everything. But
right, true.
The thing about Michelle is she admires the kind of father he is to his children.
Right.
And that's their relationship because they both work for the goodness and the greatness of their children. And in the midst of that desire to make sure that their children are provided for, their love grows for one another because they see that admiration and they see that desire to make the lives of the children better. And I think that's what makes it work so well. And the conversation that's really funny is, you know, everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got an opinion about, you know, what will or won't happen in the White House and these kinds of things. But the funny thing about it is you've heard a lot of folks go, you don't have to worry about anything going on wrong in the White House because Michelle don't play.
Yeah, she's a straight up sister then. She's intelligent, educated, but she's a straight up sister then.
She is a
straight. I can believe that. Well, you know, guys, I got a lot of other calls in queue. Alan, you are wonderful. Thank you so much for your friendship and your comments. I'm going to. Do you want to stay on when we keep your mic open, or?
Oh, I'll listen, and much love to you too. You guys run a very professional show, full of intelligent, articulate commentary, and I always enjoy it.
Thank you very much,
Alan. We appreciate it. Okay, I am going to go to. It looks like 50 and retired. 50 and retired. Are you on the line? 50 and retired. Are you there? Are you just listening?
Yes, I am. I just tuned in, so I really hadn't picked up enough to really, you know.
Oh, no problem. No problem. You want me? I can mute you back and come back to you in a few minutes if you want to kind of catch up a little bit.
Please.
Okay, no problem at all, sir. I'll just mute you back. You can just keep right on hold. Just keep right on listening. Okay. Area code 214. I'm going to go to area code 214. Area code 214. Hello? Tony, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. It sounds like 214 is in there, though.
Okay, that's no problem at all. No problem at all. I think I have a comment from area code 502. Area code 502. Do you have a comment?
Okay. Yes.
Go ahead, area code 502, with your comment.
This is Chris. Can you hear me?
Hello, Chris. Yes, we can hear you. Go right ahead.
Well, first of all, I want to say that I'm a weekly listener, and you have a great show.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Also, I want to say that yesterday was truly a point where the country took a very, very positive step. A very, very positive step. You do agree, correct?
Absolutely agree.
Okay. Question, though, and probably this question is better for Tony to answer.
Okay, Tony.
Man, a black man in America. I agree with you 100% when you said that now that we have a president of color, it makes us look and feel different. Because I felt a whole lot different this morning when I woke up. So I wanted to make sure you knew that I agree with you 100% on that. I do have a question, though. The question is, black men have had a number of barriers that they have to go through in life, just being a black man in America. Do you think, by Obama becoming president, that those barriers have been removed?
You know, Chris, I don't think the barriers have been removed, but I think that they're looked at differently. The barriers to be removed is going to take the work that Barack spoke about. It's going to take work on everybody's part. But I will say this. One thing that I have noticed is that whenever, and this is me too, seeing him in that position gave me a sense of whatever the barrier is, I'm not going to let that barrier be an excuse for me anymore. And I'm going to do something, because that's one of the things that have happened. We're so used to, and we've been so damaged by, and we've had so many things thrown at us that we had a tendency over and over again to say, you know, why do I keep trying? Because it's just going to keep happening. And so I think at this particular stage, I think a lot of folks and a lot of men are going to take a look at this and go, you know what? If this man can come from where he came from and he can be the president of the United States of America, the little stuff or the big stuff that I'm dealing with, I can deal with it, because I'm not going to let them hold me down, keep me down, or make me feel like I am down. So I don't think they're removed, but I think that we feel stronger and we can fight through a lot of the things that have been put in front of us to try to keep us down.
Okay, Tony, I appreciate your answer. Your answer was right on. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, the people in America don't think just because we have one person on the top that we still have to work very hard and we still have things to overcome, and this is just the beginning. So I appreciate your answer. Thank you.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that, Chris. Thank you so much for calling in, okay?
Thank you.
I'm going to mute you back, so continue to listen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to this is the open forum for our listeners, so I'm going to go to area code 678. Area code 678, do you have a comment, or are you just listening?
Good evening, Kathy. How are you?
Well, how are you, Mr. Loveologist?
How's it going, Tony?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I can't complain.
We had a great show the other night.
Yeah, we did. I really do appreciate you coming on the air with me.
No
I really
problem.
Appreciate that. Much love to you. Much love.
Thank you. Same you.
This is one of those things in history, and if you think back in our recent history, nobody knows exactly where they were at 9/11 when that happened. You know, what they were doing and where they were and things of that nature. This is one of those things of, you know, where were you on November 4th, 2008 at 11 o'clock in the evening, Eastern Standard Time, when they announced Barack Obama as the president-elect of the United States.
Right.
I know one of the very first things I did was I actually called my son. And he's 6 years old. And I told him, son, you can be president.
That's right.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think that, and Tony, you kind of said something about it earlier. I think that it's not necessarily that the barriers have lifted. I think now that the excuses can now be lifted.
Right.
There shouldn't be any excuse as of right now as to why you can't make it. I've always known that I can make it regardless of race or anything like that. But, you know, you always hear the old saying of, oh, the man is keeping me down, the man is doing this, and the man is doing that. And basically what the election said yesterday was not necessarily that the man of color, that a man of color is now president of the United States. What it's saying is that all the bigots and the racists of the world are the minority. And they have been the minority. It's just that everybody has always given them a whole bunch of power. Okay. I mean, we've all seen the YouTube videos, you know, whenever Sarah Palin started talking, and this is not a knock on her. I mean, hey, you have to do what you have to do in order to win a presidency, okay? I mean, it is what it is, okay? And, you know, you saw all those guys yelling, Barack's a Muslim, bomb Obama, you know, and all that stuff. And basically what America was saying was, you know what, we can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And not only that, the whole world was watching. You know, here the people on the right say, oh, the reason why the whole world was cheering was because now something bad's going to happen to us. No, it wasn't that. It was actually the world. I was in the Navy back in the Gulf War period, back in the early 90s. But even during that time, America was revered. Everybody loved us. You know, now people looked at America here over what's been going on here these past few years, and people are like, you guys are some freaking bullies. We don't like you. You know what I'm saying? And basically what the world was cheering about was that, you know what, you guys got it right. You guys finally got it right this time.
Well, and you know, a lot of folks, because we had this conversation today on the show too, the world will look at America differently. I mean, that's why there's always been aspirations to get here, because it is called the land of opportunity.
Yes.
But the land of opportunity has also become the land of taking advantage.
And
taking
the land
advantage
of the
individual. Exactly. And so what it has shown the world is America now is more inclusive than ever before, and not only that, it no longer looks upon minorities. It no longer looks at those individuals that are lesser of as being anything but what they are. And they're human beings and they're Americans. And I saw all the footage of all the different places around the world. I mean, proof to me that Obama was the right person was when he went to Europe and 300,000 people showed up.
I remember that. Yeah,
that was proof to me that this guy was the right guy.
That's when the right was teasing about how he was a rock star. I remember.
Exactly. And you know, rock stars are rock stars, but the bottom line is I don't remember him singing a song or playing an instrument.
Right.
But he still had 300,000 people show up. And it's what he stands for, what he represents, and what he believes in that made those people come out, and that's why he's the president-elect of the United States.
And see, what people seem to forget is that when you look at the president, and, you know, Ronald Reagan had it, you know, no matter what your viewpoints on Ron was, you know, he had it, Bill Clinton had it, even for the first year of his presidency, George Bush had it, okay? That you're looked at when you're the president of the United States as the world leader. You're the man who's leading the world, or the woman who is leading the world. So I think that America had lost a little bit of that as far as under George's rule, and I'm not knocking George. You know, sometimes you have to do what you have to do, okay? But there needed to be a new direction. And to go back on the point as far as with blacks and African Americans and people of color, Hispanic, like I was stating before, there is no excuse anymore. You can't say the man is bringing me down. What you need to do is, like I've always said, to button up your bootstraps, strap them up, and go to work, period. Because that's what America is all about. It's all about, you know, you can make your own way. It's
right.
You who decides that. No, nobody going to keep you down. And I think the number was yesterday, like 53% of white America voted for Barack Obama.
Absolutely.
53%.
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
That's
so basically what that told me was that, well, at least 53% of America didn't look at the color of his skin when they punched that ballot.
Right.
So that just lets me know that the bigots out there are the minority, and you need to treat them as such. So don't give them any power. That's all. People of color do is that they give the bigots the power when they never really had it to begin with.
Right.
Yeah, I think what's happened in this particular case, and prayerfully it will continue to happen, is that those individuals that have had those voices, and they had those voices from history, the numbers have been dwindling over the decades, and they've had resurgence here and there, but hopefully, prayerfully, we're going to see those numbers, you know, dwindle considerably, because I think America is tired, and they just want to do what's right. And I think what we saw last night, and what we hopefully will see in the next 4 years, is America getting it right and doing it right. And the only way that it's going to happen is everyone, and truly everyone, working together. Because one thing Barack did say in his speech last night was those individuals that didn't vote for him, he appreciated, you know, them doing what they did. But the bottom line is, he's their president too, and he's going to work on their behalf also. And so that in itself basically says, I don't care who you are or how you feel about me. The bottom line is, I'm going to do right by you despite you.
Exactly.
And guys, I'm sorry to interrupt here, but I want to try to get to some of these other callers. So,
sure, go ahead.
Love, do you want to stay on? You're in the chat room. Do you want to keep your mic open or?
You know, you can if you want to. I mean, I probably won't say much, but, you know, you can go ahead.
You might chime in here or there. I'm going to take a quick little break, and we're going to give you guys a chance to rest, because I know we've been doing a lot of talking, and we will be right back.
But in the unlikely story that is America, there has never been anything false about hope. We've been told we're not ready, or that we shouldn't try, or that we can't. Generations of Americans have responded with a simple creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can.
man. Oh, I am so hyped right now. I am so hyped. Tony, I am going to go to area code 860. Area code 860. You're on the line. Do you have a comment?
Hey, it's Kathy. How are you? This is Wendy Kay.
Hello, Wendy.
I just want to say I've been crying all day. I've been crying all day. This is remarkable. And, you know, I get teared up because so many of our ancestors have gone through so much. We waited over 221 years for our day. And although we can't really claim it as a full day for us, it's a half a day. And, you know, I think back to my great-great-grandfather is well-known in history. And I wonder how he felt because he did something that changed the pace of America. And I could imagine how Obama is feeling right now. And I wonder, you know, if he was here, how would he feel if I was able to talk to him and ask him, when you did what you did, how did it make you feel? And then if we were able to sit down with Obama and say, after last night's victory, how do you feel? I mean, I've just been tearing up. Everything has been making me cry all day today. And I'm glad I'm crying. These are tears of joy. At least they're tears of joy, not of anguish.
That's right.
And you know, Wendy, the one thing that I love about Barack Obama is the fact that he understands that he didn't get here on his own. He's standing on the shoulders of everyone that went before him. He understands that those individuals that fought and died for the opportunity for him to be here, that's the reason that he's here. And there were individuals not only of color, but of really every race. I mean, you think about what his grandmother and his mother did for him and how they, despite his color and regardless of what went on in his life, they raised him as an American. And you think about, you know, the folks that went before him and made sure that he had an opportunity when he was going to be looked upon differently. He stands on their shoulders, and he recognizes that. And really that attitude is, I think, what makes him so appealing to so many people of color, because the bottom line is you can't get to the top by thinking that you didn't get there with someone's help, because one thing I know about making it is nobody makes it on their own. Somebody helped them get there. And the one thing about Barack is he had several million people that he reached out to. And I just have this impression that those several million people that helped him get there, he's not going to leave them behind. That's the impression I have. So what happened in your family and what happened in my family, the names that we were called and the things that we went through, I know Barack feels that pressure. But he feels that pressure not only for his people, but he feels it for all of America. Because I remember the speech when he tried to explain to America about racism, and he did it more eloquently than I've ever heard anybody say it. And he told the stories of the emotions about both sides, because he's had the impressions from both sides. And I don't think anybody could have done that but him. And since he did that, I think a lot of people were able to see America in a different light. Because before, and I didn't hear this at all today, before you would hear people go, well, why are y'all talking about that? I mean, it's a long time ago. Didn't hear that. They understand now that the reason that black people are so proud and crying all day and trying to figure out, did this really happen, and still walking around in amazement, is because this is something that validates us being here. It makes us feel as though now we truly do count, because America recognizes us as being whole, and that's a big deal.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things, I took my great aunt, her name is Catherine Smalls, I took her to vote yesterday, and she's 78. And, you know, she was like, I can't believe I'm alive to see this happen.
Wow.
And it's remarkable. It is really, truly remarkable. And just the fact that we can look in our children's eyes and tell them, you don't have to worry as much as we did before. That the things that we were hindered, the limitations we had on us as a people are probably finally going to be lifted off of us, and to be part of the fabric of society and not considered just two-thirds of a human being anymore is a great accomplishment.
I agree.
And so that's all I have to say.
Oh, thank you, Wendy. Well, I really, really appreciate you calling in. I mean, your comments are totally heartfelt, and I feel the emotion, and I'm right there with you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, dear. Whew, yeah, this is a very, very emotional time for everybody. I just actually lost my thought, Tony, so you may want to go ahead.
Well, the one thing I did want to add is that I want to keep reiterating the fact that in this new experience for this country, the one thing that we have to remember, and in the conversation we just had, the only way that anything that has been accomplished is going to work is if we continue working together.
I agree.
And the work together means that as a people of color, minorities, we need to understand that we have to stop hurting one another and tearing each other down.
Mm-hmm.
And as Americans, we have to understand that we're more alike than we are different. And we have to understand the importance of what we do generates an energy and a synergy in this country, and we want to make sure that it is positive. So that's what this was. I mean, in Grant Park, we saw hundreds of thousands of individuals of all races, all genders, and the thing that was amazing to me is demographically, they were from the smallest child to the most elderly person, and they all
right.
were there for the same reason, and that was to celebrate America changing for the first time in a way that it's never done.
And, you know, before we get too far off the mark, because we're rolling up on the last 10 minutes of the show, and I just want to give an absolute heartfelt congratulations to Senator John McCain, Governor Sarah Palin, and their entire campaign team. They did a fabulous job. And not only that, but the concession speech that Senator McCain gave last night was so magnificently eloquent. Oh, my God, I was so impressed, and I was so happy that he stated the words that he said, talking about peace, and he wouldn't even allow the people to boo him. And I'm sorry, guys, just bear with me here, because I have to just play a tiny little clip from that, because it was so moving for me.
To all my campaign comrades, from Rick Davis and Steve Schmidt and Mark Salter, to every last volunteer who fought so hard and valiantly month after month in what at times seemed to be the most challenged campaign in modern times, thank you so much. A lost election will never mean more to me than the privilege of your faith and friendship. I don't know what more we could have done to try to win this election. I'll leave that to others to determine. Every candidate makes mistakes, and I'm sure I made my share of them. But I won't spend a moment of the future regretting what might have been. This campaign was and will remain the great honor of my life. And my heart is filled with nothing but gratitude for the experience and to the American people for giving me a fair hearing before deciding that Senator Obama and my old friend Senator Joe Biden should have the honor of leading us for the next 4 years. Please, please. I would not be an American worthy of the name should I regret a fate that has allowed me the extraordinary privilege of serving this country for a half a century. Today, I was a candidate for the highest office in the country I love so much. And tonight, I remain her servant. That is blessing enough for anyone, and I thank the people of Arizona for it.
I think that was so, so wonderful of him. And just, I mean, in my opinion, that was his most eloquent speech throughout the entire campaign.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, after you get done with the battle, you have to start healing.
You've got to come together.
We are a country. And even though there was two different sides and two different parties, now that a president has been elected, now the parties have to work together. That's
absolutely
the only way that this can happen. And it has to be, I mean, Obama has put it in place where he has said that it's probably going to be a bipartisan White House, which means that he's going to have people working on from both sides. And I think that that basically means that this country is going to look like he said it was going to look, inclusive.
Right. I tell you, I'm in the same boat Wendy's in. I have been very emotional all day long just because, like I said, it's just surreal. I just didn't know if I would ever see this day come. I'm going to go back to the phone line here. Area code 347.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Hello. Hi. How are you? Kathy and Tony. Am I correct, Tony?
Yes, thank you.
Hi. How are you?
We're wonderful.
My name is KLJ Berg. I'm from Hollyoke.
Mm-hmm.
I must agree with you, Kathy. That was a wonderful speech that McCain made last night.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that I want to point out that my brother said to me, because I host a show at Blog Talk Radio as well, he
mm-hmm.
called in before the tally of the bill and said, sis, you know, when God is for you, he said, remember we were kids, Grandma used to say, when God is for you, who can be against you? I said,
right.
Yeah, Joe. He said, well, sis, this is what this is all about. Remember, if you look back, people all over the world were commenting about Barack being the next president of the United States. People came from all over the world. People supported him from around the globe. That was God preparing this man for that position. I said, oh, my God, Joe. I said, yes. I just hope nothing goes down, nothing wrong happens. So my brother said, yeah. I said, well, you know what? Let me take that back because in the Word it says power and life in words. And sure enough, then my eldest brother called. He said, sis, that man upstairs is amazing. Now, this is before Barack won. He said,
right.
Sis, God put things in. God does what he wants. He takes from you to give what he has planned for you. He said, now, all America and the whole world has been talking about getting a leader who's strong, who can stand the test of time. Now, sis, remember, the Lord just took his grandmother. And look,
right.
He's still standing. The Lord
right.
did that to show the world that this is the man. I said, oh, my God. I started crying. I said, oh, my God, this looks amazing. But, you know, I just want to call and say, you know, I'm going to give thanks and praises to the Lord.
Absolutely.
Because he is God. And what he has planned, when he has a plan for you, no matter what people do, can nothing happen. It'll go his way and his way only. That's why he's God. I just want to just give praises to the Lord. For this
he
wonderful event that has taken place.
Yes,
he's
he does.
Worthy
deserve
to be
it.
Praised.
Because when God has your path, when God has your path orchestrated, he will bring people into your life to
Amen.
Make sure that it happens. And that's exactly
Amen.
What he has done for
us. And that's what
praise.
He did. Didn't he do that?
Yes, he
God
did.
God is amazing.
Yes,
is he? Oh, my God. I just want to give him praises and honor and glory. And I'm learning every day. Put God first, and he is a perfect example. Last night in the whole campaign as a whole is an example of what God can do and that he does exist because he put everything in front of Barack to prepare him for this.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's amazing. So
and,
I can imagine
we have to listen to God. We've got to pull from that strength within and listen to God.
That's right.
He lost his grandmother, the most important person still
Ooh,
living
Jesus.
In his life. He lost her, and he still prevailed.
Jesus.
Oh, the strength of that man. Oh.
That's the Lord showing that this is the man with the strength. This is what America's been.
Strength.
The Lord's heard our cry, and he answered us. He's just a
Absolutely.
Wonderful God. And I just want to thank you guys for this show, this segment tonight. I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what to say. But
Thank you so much,
Kathy. Thank you very much, Tony. And God bless you. And I look forward to collaborating with you very soon. I'm going to send you an
email.
God
bless you, too.
Take care, my darling.
All righty. Bye-bye. Whew. Boy, this has been an emotional roller coaster. I am going to go ahead and wind down here and thank everyone so much for joining us. I know this 90 minutes went by so fast, and I am going to close out the show. Tony, thank you so much for hanging
in
here with us. I know your schedule has been extremely crazy and busy, and I really do appreciate you coming, because I know you had considered not being able to do the show tonight, but thank you so much, and thank you to everyone in the chat room for joining us. The call-ins, all the comments, you guys had wonderful comments, and, you know, I really appreciate you all. So I'm going to go ahead and say goodnight and sign off, and I'm going to leave you with this momentous, wonderful message from our new president-elect, Barack Obama. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
Good night, everyone.
If there is anyone out there who still doubts that America is a place where all things are possible,
never would have made it.
Who still wonders if the dream of our founders
never could have made it
is alive in our time,
without you.
Tonight is your answer.
You were there for me.
It's the answer told by lines that stretched around schools and churches. In numbers this nation has never seen. By people who waited 3 hours.
Without you.
Many for the first time in their lives. Because they believed that this time must be different.
How you were there for me.
That their voices could be that difference. It's the answer spoken by young and old, rich and poor, Democrat and Republican, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Native American, gay, straight, disabled and not disabled, Americans who sent a message to the world that we have never been just a collection of individuals or a collection of red states and blue states. We are and always will be the United States of America. It's the answer that led those who've been told for so long by so many to be cynical and fearful and doubtful about what we can achieve, to put their hands on the arc of history and bend it once more toward the hope of a better day. It's been a long time coming. But tonight, because of what we did on this day, in this election, at this defining moment, change has come to America. For even as we celebrate tonight, we know the challenges that tomorrow will bring are the greatest of our lifetime. Two wars. A planet in peril. The worst financial crisis in a century. The road ahead will be long. Our climb will be steep. We may not get there in 1 year or even in one term. But America, I have never been more hopeful than I am tonight that we will get there. I promise you, we as a people will get there. This election had many firsts and many stories that will be told for generations. Ann Nixon Cooper is 106 years old. She was born just a generation past slavery. She's seen throughout her century in America the heartache and the hope, the struggle and the progress, and the people who pressed on with that American creed, yes, we can. The hoses in Birmingham, a bridge in Selma, and a preacher from Atlanta who told the people that we shall overcome, yes, we can. Thank you. We have seen so much, but there's so much more to do. If my daughters should be so lucky to live as long as Ann Nixon Cooper, what change will they see? This is our moment to restore prosperity and promote the cause of peace. And where we are met with cynicism and doubt and those who tell us that we can't, we will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can. Thank you. God bless you. And may God bless the United States of America.